Hey, this is Chase Barber.
And I'm Jordan Willie.
We're two blue-collar boys doing some blue-collar interviews. All right, guys, welcome back to Blue Collar Interviews. Got myself, Chase Barber, Jordan Willie here. It's just going to be the two of us today as we kind of catch up and get this podcast thing back rolling again.
Yeah. No, I just figured we could do probably one more of catch-up stuff, and then we'll get back some guests on here. But I think there's a few things last episode we brushed over, and we got on rants and forgot about some stuff. But
yeah, I guess, eh? What did we forget to go over?
I don't know if we forgot anything specific. I was actually going to expand on some stuff I was talking about. They're not important in any sense, but I just thought they were kind of fun.
Good. I did think we didn't have enough Zoom Boom talk, so.
Yeah. One of the things I want to expand on was my Arizona trip. I just brushed over it, and I was like, you know what? I want to tell people about my Arizona trip.
Awesome. Let's hear more about Arizona. It's fucking warmer than Manitoba.
It's warmer than Manitoba. It's a blast, first of all. It got expensive, though, I will say. There's a few things I want to note on Arizona. First thing I want to note, just to get out there, if anyone's going down there and likes steakhouses, Santan Flats is the best steak I've had in my life. It's in Mesa area. Do it. Second thing, we went to a hockey game. Chase, you're not really much of a hockey fan, are you?
I mean, I like hockey. I'm definitely, like, it's one of those things where, like, I'll go to a game if somebody invites me, and I'll always enjoy it, but I'm too fucking busy to, like, commit the time to drive, like, 4 hours down Vancouver, attend a game, and then drive, like, 4 or 5 hours back. If there's, like, a fucking local game going on that someone reminds me about, all for it.
Yeah, hell yeah. Okay, so you would have loved this, then. And I'm, like, I don't know if you know this, but the Arizona Coyotes, they're the joke of the NHL in a sense. Like, they play in a college arena while they're sorting out their actual arena. So, like, your minimum arena capacity in the NHL is like 12,000-13,000 people, and they're in like a 5,000 seat arena. Like, it's ridiculous. But however, they might change out of there, but while they're there, if anyone's in Arizona, go to a game. It was the best atmosphere for a hockey game I've been in my life. Like, it's NHL hockey, so the best hockey in the world, and you're in a tiny arena watching it. Like, it was awesome. Like, it was so much fun.
That's probably worth going to, even if you're like not a fan of their team, but your team's going to play.
I like, it was Calgary Coyotes. I'm a Winnipeg fan because Winnipeg Jets, so like I didn't even really care, and I had so much fun. Like, it was a blast. And my brothers, they played hockey when growing up, but they don't really watch or care, and like, oh, we've been to Jets games, like, it's not a big deal. But no, they were like, that was the coolest game I've ever been to in my life. Like, it was so much cooler.
Oh, that's sweet. Fuck.
And you blue collar guys going to Arizona for a trip, you go to a game. Even if you don't even like hockey that much, trust me, it is a blast. So, highly recommend.
Awesome. Perfect.
Now, other note from Arizona, but like, we golfed and stuff. I'm a big golf fan, so we went down there with our golf equipment. A lot of good courses down there, a lot of fun. But you know what made me mad down in Arizona? How many Americans tease Canadians for our money? Like, oh, your funny money, your colored bills, your plastic money. Like, we just get teased about it, right?
I mean, I think the same thing. Their money's fucking stupid. Why is every single one green? And then well, they'll be like, oh, Canada's got multicolored Monopoly money. You're the only country in the world, America, that has all of their money the same fucking color. Like, you know what I love? Fucking having to sort through even harder to go through my fucking cash.
Trying harder to go through cash, yeah.
Accidentally makes no sense. Tipping the stripper a fucking 100 instead of a 1.
Yeah, ridiculous. No, Canadians get teased about their money. Even while down there, we get teased about our money. But they have so much counterfeit money, nowhere would take $100 bills. So I pulled out fresh, crisp hundreds, and I couldn't use them down in the States. Only a couple places used them. And, like, we'd have to, like, try to find places that could use them and exchange money. And I'm like, you make fun of our money, but I've never gone anywhere. I can go somewhere with 10 grand cash and give it to them, and it's fine. Like, it made me so mad. I was like, they're so high and mighty about their money, but there's so much counterfeit that they won't take hundreds.
Yeah, but using the rest of the world, like, anti-counterfeiting techniques is just too hard.
No. Like, they are ridiculous down there. It's like, you guys can't use better techniques for your money, and then you make fun of our money, but then we can't use your money in your country. Like, I was so mad. Me and my brother would just go to takeout places, order. I felt bad about this, but we're like, they're going to take our money. And we'd order, have the bag ready to be passed to us, give them 100. If they wouldn't take it, we'd just walk out. Like, we had MasterCard or something. We're like, no, like,
yeah, no, you're taking this 100. They won't take the cash. Fuck them. Also, can I just, while we're on a rant about stupid currency things, I absolutely hate the way that paying for your bill at a restaurant works in the States. Like, you just give the credit card and you're like, all right, just take all of my credit card information, just walk off where I can't see you for 5 minutes, and then come back. No chip, no pin. We're just going to totally make this the honor system. And then I'm going to write in the tip and just hopefully, like, you enter it the way that I say it's going to be. Like, we're just going to make the whole thing honor system on all of my fucking money. Could you just come to
I
the
thought that
table?
was so weird too. Yeah, it's like what are you doing? Why are you taking my card to the till? Like,
like, just bring your card machine over to the table. I'll play at the table while I'm sitting down. Like, you've already got to bring the bill. Bring the card reader. Put it in there.
Yeah. No, it makes no sense. I, besides these little things, loved America. I know we got a decent amount of American listeners. Love you guys. Just, it's ridiculous that you can make fun of me for my money and I can't use it down there.
Oh, speaking of cool credit card things, we just found out, got one of the metal credit cards now.
No.
Yeah.
You got a fancy bougie credit card?
I got a fancy bougie credit card. CIBC reached out and they're like, hey, because we do a lot of like the business things, just put it on the credit card and then just pay it off every month. Like, that's how we just kind of, you know, make a lot of the purchases from our suppliers are all just credit cards.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense too. And plus, like, air miles, and I don't know if you guys have air miles or anything, but like, you can get points to fly around. We're flying all the time. Like, why wouldn't we do that?
Yeah. Like, we order a lot of our parts and supplies, and we spent like over like $500,000 last year on like parts and supplies and all that. And they're like, whoa, you spent like $500,000 on your credit card. Here's a fancy fucking metal one.
Oh man. Okay, when I'm in BC, I'm gonna ask to see it and touch it. I've never seen a metal card.
I saw one. I went out for when we went down to New York to go meet those investors. So one guy had like a metal card there, and I was like, holy shit, that's fucking dope.
That
and
is a flex right now.
Had a metal card, and I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, oh,
that's
man,
a pretty sweet
flex.
Get
that. Then like a month later, they're like, hey, you qualify for the fancy metal card because you're spending like a fucking over $100,000 or whatever.
Yeah, that'll be pretty sweet for like if you're in a business meeting and guys are like, oh, are you serious? Like, oh, just get some food for us on my card, like drop it near the metal. Oh shit, this guy's for real.
But here's the fucked up part about it. So it was like the bank is like, yes, you qualify at $500,000 a year, you're over the limit to get your metal credit card. And then RBC, the bank, talked with a reporter. And they did a piece on Edison and like Edison's like meet Chase Barber and Eric Little building this electric truck company, example of great small business growth, innovation in the clean sector. Like what, like just a business spotlight on Edison from RBC with a metal card and still applied for a mortgage. And then RBC, the morning before I had the interview, the mortgage broker from RBC is like, yeah, I couldn't get you approved for any kind of mortgage. Like,
oh,
are you
my goodness.
Me kidding me? So they're like, I'm not saying that the housing market's fucked, but when you're at the point where you're like, yeah, I got a metal business, like I got a metal credit card for the business. The bank is running a spotlight piece for their business and financial newsletter that goes around, but I can't get a fucking mortgage on a house. How fucking broken is our country?
That is pretty ridiculous. That is terrible. Like, ugh.
Like, it just, none of this stuff makes any sense at all in the financial world. Like, Edison, we just finished our thing with the Securities Commission because we did the crowdfunding, and then they're like, we were crowdfunding ever. So they investigated us. They spent a year of investigation, and what they found was that they're like, you guys broke the law. That was illegal because you didn't declare. Like, they investigated us for 8 months and found that Edison broke the law because in the prospectus, we didn't declare that me and Eric were taking a salary. For the last 2 years, I made $30,000, in which I've said in many videos. I'm like, I've said a lot of videos. They're like, you didn't put it in the prospectus. Maybe the investors wouldn't have known. If the investors had known that in the prospectus, there may have been a few that didn't invest because they didn't want their money going into your own personal pocket to fucking eat. They would have only invested if you starved yourself to death for the fucking 2 years you were doing this thing.
We could cold call everyone who invested and be like, hey, by the way, Chase took out a little bit of money to live, and everyone would be like, not more, like just a little, like
and that's the thing, is like it was $30,000. Like, that's the hours I worked is like half a minimum wage when you add it up. Like, less than half a minimum wage, lived with my parents. Fortune magazine did an article on me that I'm too broke to afford a mortgage, still hasn't changed a year later.
Mm-hmm. That's just the government, though, being greasy, because, like, our investors can see, oh, like, Kenworth is developing an electric truck, and they're doing it with $15, $20 billion or $1 million.
No,
and it's like, oh, billions would be correct. And it's like, Edison's is doing it. Oh, and they need, like, $2.5 million, and they did it and produced. And Chase lived off 30 grand, too. Like, we're so open and honest that our investors don't have the problem. It's the government that has the problem. Like,
And just because it wasn't in the prospectus, which was like a 10, 12-page document, and after a year of investigation, that's the only thing. But in order to talk to the Securities Commission, you need to hire a lawyer. They're like, yes, you can't represent yourself. This isn't like a court. You need to actually have a lawyer to represent you, or we'll just decide how we see fit. You can't represent yourself. So we had to hire a lawyer and pay $60,000 in legal fees in order to justify why we got $30,000 as a salary, because the investors might not have been okay with the salary. And I'm like, you know what? I think if we took a poll of hands here, which investors would be happier that we spent $60,000 on a lawyer, and which ones would be happier that we spent $30,000 on a salary for myself? Like, I'm sure they would be much more unhappy with securities with all the time and effort that we put into it, because every minute we spent dealing with that wasn't a minute that we could spend on the truck. And that took hours and hours, as they asked Eric, who's also handles our books, is our chief technical guy that knows all the electrical things to do all the electrical engineering at the time, spent weeks dealing with, okay, we need this receipt and this receipt, as they audited all of our books, audited everything. We needed certified financial audited statements to prove that we spent the money we spent. And you're like, there's a fucking truck in the driveway. We spent $1.5 million. The truck is in the driveway. Look at that. I'm like, oh my God. Like, the amount of time waste that the government made us do, the
I
amount of
just wish we
money.
were a foreign company. Like, if we were a foreign company, they would just leave us alone. If we were, like, honestly, though, like, it seems so much easier for them, and it's so corrupt and ridiculous.
You know that guy that lives on like the North Sea on like the drilling platform? He's like, I'm in international waters, so I'm my own country.
Time to do that.
I feel like we not yet. Let's just do that, and or ask if that guy's got like a room available, and like, fuck it, I'll live on the drilling platform, and then we'll be a foreign company. And if we were a foreign company, it wouldn't be a big deal, and BC Securities wouldn't be investigating us because it wouldn't be their jurisdiction. Like, so if a foreign company decided to come in here and ask money from Canadian investors, doesn't fucking matter. They have no jurisdiction. Whatever. That's on the way it is. You want to start a thing from Nigeria? All right. That's up to the Nigerian authorities. Like, just fuck off, government. Like, frustrating.
It is very frustrating. Another less frustrating happy news. The shop. So we're looking at a shop in Terrace. I know we did talk about it last week, but so where is it at? Like, it's nothing's finalized. Are we like super close, or what
We
is
put the
the
offer in on it, and it's pending rezoning approval. And the city's like, yeah, I don't think so. It'll be any issue. Like, the city's to have us there. The MLA is stoked. The economic development officer is stoked. The general, all the people in the city are reaching out saying how. So it takes about 2 months to go through the rezoning process on this expedited track. It would take 6 months to 8 months on the slow track. So they put us on the expedited track. We needed
Well,
to do
hopefully
like
we
the
get
street
her.
renders, or like we need a plan of what the shop looks like. You need to have like drawings or renders or something of what you want to do with it. And like, okay, we'll do all that. We should have it submitted by this week, and then we should hear in about 2 months. If we get the approval, now that we closed everything off with the Securities Commission, then we're going to go back and seek some investment money, because I don't know if we talked about this last time, but we basically said fuck off to all the venture capitalists we were talking to. We're not raising any sort of VC money, because every single one I talk to just can go fuck themselves.
It's just, we thought maybe we could get someone like a venture capitalist that wouldn't be like that, but it's exactly who they are and what they want to do. It's just, there was no surprise though. Like, it's just, they want to make it cheap, they want to go foreign, they don't give a shit.
Or the other issue is that we found something. They're like, we don't want to go cheap, we don't want to go foreign, but they wanted to load up the top end of the company with their guys. It's like, okay, well, we need to have at least 30% of it, of the company. Like, we really won't do anything less than 20, 30% ownership. We want half of the board of directors to be us. We want to put in, and it's like, okay, we got to hire this guy, and then you got to hire this guy, and we want you to hire, like, here's these seven, eight guys we want you to hire for company development. And it's like, some of the guys that some of them are bringing forward, we're very much like, okay, they have no experience at all with semi trucks, no experience with manufacturing semi trucks. They ran other like import businesses, or they sold crayons to elementary schools, whatever it is. Like,
This guy's somewhat brain dead, but he's related to that guy. So we're gonna get him into your company, okay?
well, they
Yeah,
have a
sounds
bunch
good.
of fancy letters behind their name, and and what I basically told the guy, it might not be politically correct, but I'm like, it doesn't matter how many chiefs you put in the teepee, it's not going to increase the success of the buffalo hunt.
Oh, not that's not that's a I've heard much worse ways of saying that, so that's not bad at all.
Well, like it's true. It's like it, you know what we need? Good heavy duty mechanics. I will take 3 heavy duty mechanics over 10 MBA, CPA, whatever designation, financial designation people to run the company that have no experience. Like, and I'm not saying we shouldn't eventually get more people on the team that can handle and talk with securities commission, and that's their job. People that are production experts from factories. But you know what? They'll come organically. We're building 2 semi trucks next year, 1 retrofit, and then 4 or 5 pickup trucks. That's the stage where we don't need a production manager to manage that. We are more than capable of handling that level of prototype, product development, like just... And I read that book by Elon Musk, or that Elon Musk book. So I'm like, I should probably read what he did. And it was kind of the one thing he's like, hey, do not do any venture capital. He's like, product managers, company developers, and venture capitalists don't share the vision of the founders. Don't share the visions of the people that wanted to start the company. They will ruin the company. Every other company has failed. That VC, and you start looking at all of the other EV companies, you look at Hylian, super top heavy board, you look at Vancity or Rivian that's starting to bog down now, Nikola, even Heavy D was like, hey, like Nikola's suffering because they've got people in there that sound amazing, but have no actual experience. I've talked to other people with Nikola, and they've said the same thing about Nikola, that their board of guys have no idea about trucks. Like they're not passionate. You need to get down like 3-4 levels in management before you even find a guy that knows about semi trucks.
Well, can you imagine if our board of directors stays pretty much the same in like years to come? Like it's all working guys. Like it's someone who has no shared perspective with the people who are trying to get into those board positions. Like, and it's all about money with them. And we're just like, we're all about the truck. We're all about the customers right now. And if that changes, it's, you know, like these big companies do, and then they get these guys and well, the ethos changes, or however you say that word.
Yeah, and you need to focus. You look at the most successful companies like Laterno Industries, Caterpillar, John Deere, Bobcat. They were all owned, started, and managed by people that were super passionate about their product. Henry Ford, like people that were very passionate but grew it.
Costco, guy was about to get a fight over a hot dog price.
Right? Like those are the people that are like the people that start it have the passion. Like Tesla, Elon kept the vision. Yeah, he bought it out when it was an experimental company. But really, as far as I'm concerned, he was a founder, because building one car in a tent, basically he got in early enough that he's a founder.
Yeah.
But he had the vision and he went with that vision and he succeeded because as he said, he wasn't going to let VC in. He was going to fund the project himself if that's what it took. And we started thinking back like, the crowdfunding is really the same way. Yes, it is external investment, but all of our fans, like we've all built this thing together. Everybody has built Edison Motors working together. So like the amount of people that have supported online, like those are the people that should be investing, getting their things, because they are the founders. Like the people that have invested for the journey are the founders of Edison Motors, not the venture capital guys. The people that were on board that follow us online, they're the ones that share the vision. They're the ones that should be like the Elons or the Caterpillar guys and supporting us. So it's like, we basically said like, hey, everyone made fun of us. Like the venture capital made fun of us. Is like, well, crowdfunding isn't real money. Real businesses don't make money in crowdfunding. You can't do crowdfunding. Then we realized, I'm like, you guys don't know what the fuck you're doing. Because if you knew how to run successful businesses, you wouldn't be spending other people's money investing. You would actually be running a business. So how about you just like, fuck off. Let the people that have the passion, let us drive the product forward, focusing on a good quality product, and then like go that way. Fuck.
Yeah. Back to the building here quick. I got a Facebook or seen a Facebook comment I quite liked. The person mentioned from the top view, we should do our office wings so it makes a big E. And I thought that was pretty funny. I like that.
I like that too. That's pretty sweet.
That would look pretty sweet. How big is Terrace?
I think it's got like 25,000-30,000 people.
Oh, so it's pretty big then.
That's got a pretty major airport.
Yeah, like I'm just comparing to towns around here. Like that'd be probably the third biggest city in Manitoba. So pretty big.
Then I mean,
we got Winnipeg and Brandon. That's about it.
Yeah, Terrace is nice. It's not a crazy climate. It sucks. It's kind of far away.
Yeah. I was gonna ask a few more things. Summer tour. Are you doing a Topsy summer tour? Pardon?
We'll see.
Yeah. No, sorry, I should have maybe actually that first or before. I remember we talked about it last year and I was like, oh, Topsy summer tour would be pretty deadly.
We really want to. We're really planning on it. I'm just saying no to any kind of tours because of the horrible past we've had of like, we don't, Edison is so busy and growing so fast that things that seem like, oh yeah, that'll be easy to do, turn out to be super hard because, like, yes, I'd love to do a Topsy tour, but we've sold some trucks. Maybe by summer, we're so busy in the mix of production. Like, if the testing is done on Topsy by summer and we're in the middle of production, it doesn't make sense to shut production down and go drive the truck around. Maybe we hire
Yeah.
somebody to go do it, but like, we don't have any additional people to like go hire to go just like, be like, oh yeah, drive the truck around. Like, maybe we send it to work. I don't know. It's just, I can't predict what 6 months in the future is going to look like.
Yeah.
But
So there's
raise the
plates on
money,
it.
we hire
Sorry.
somebody and go to work.
If we got the money to pay someone to drive Topsy around, I would volunteer for that
You're too busy with your own business.
job. That's what I'm saying. If we have the money, gonna get paid to do things. No, I am quite busy. I don't want to hire someone though. It's hard to make the jump from like for someone like me, and I've seen other companies doing it. You can't go from like one guy to two, three guys. You got to go one guy to four, five guys, like where you can have another crew and yourself. Like if you just have one, like I've tried it myself with just two, three guys, and it seems harder because it's a lot of fixing mistakes and going back and checking on work where you need a foreman who can run two, three guys, and you could take another guy and go do some work.
Yeah, that's just
So. And
like,
then it's quite a jump for me. Then it's like a lot more stress where it's like, ah, this is pretty easy and I make decent money now. So.
yeah, it's, you would basically have to like, to come in, you'd have to be like, all right, I'm gonna like park the business, shut it down, and come into Edison. Like, it'd be super hard to manage unless you were larger.
Yeah.
And if
And that's how,
you're
yeah,
larger,
so large where it's
still,
someone who managed it completely.
yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
although to be fair, you have absolutely probably made more money with Edison than you had in the last few
You
years working at your own business.
make a good point. You make a good point. But
I mean, you've made
we'll see.
more money with Edison than all the work you've done with the business, guaranteed. I mean,
Yeah, guaranteed. But love my little business, man. Can't give it up.
just move the
Ugh.
beta to Terrace. Fuck it. We need it.
Oh, you know what? Great little contract is fixing up that parking lot for you guys. First one.
Exactly. And then we need to fix up the shop. We got to fix up the parking lot. We need
Oh,
to
damn.
fix up the shop. Do it. There's enough work to contract another big pipeline on it or something like that. I think you should relocate
Ugh.
to Terrace. The houses are still affordable.
I know, I know.
No winter.
Isn't it pretty north? Isn't it pretty northern?
No, it's in southern BC.
Oh man, what? I thought it was like up there.
No, if you draw a map in like a divide BC halfway, it's in the southern half of BC.
Oh, okay. I thought it was way high up there.
Everybody thinks it's way high up there because there's no fucking towns north of it. There is like no towns over 1,000 people north of Terrace. And you basically all the way from Vancouver to Terrace has everything. Like south of Terrace is all Prince George, Quesnel, Williams Lake, Kamloops, Kelowna, Vernon, and like everything else is south of Terrace. And Terrace is like, it's literally the most northern city in British Columbia. Besides Fort St. John, sorry, Fort St. John, Port Nelson are north of that, but everything else is below Terrace. So people are like, oh yeah, Terrace must be like the most, one of the like super far north. And you're like, actually, it's in the south half of BC. There's just nothing in this fucking province.
Well, you guys got a lot of mountains and trees to deal with, so it's kind of hard to have towns. It's so weird because with being so flatlander, like you could just, oh, I want to like put a bunch of houses and buildings here, no biggie. Like for you guys, you have to have like certain areas. Like you have to, oh, there was a little flat spot in this valley we can work in it. We're like we're just anywhere. You could be like, ah, I want to put a bunch of houses here.
That would be, yeah, that would be much nicer. I mean,
In
you can
a
put
sense, it's pretty
houses
sweet.
on fucking hills, though. It's just a little bit of blasting, a little bit more of dirt moving.
Yeah. Flying. So you guys are looking at getting your pilot's license, a bunch of you?
Honestly, was super thinking about it. Like, I was looking it up and like, okay, we did a little discovery flight and looking up the planes, and they're like, well, if we're that far north, like maybe having a company plane isn't the worst idea. And we started like looking around and be like, you can get a really decent like Cessna 152, 172 for like $100,000. And then if you own your own plane, doing your pilot's license is like $20,000, or sorry, it's like $5,000 as opposed to $20,000 just paying the instructor. And we're like, oh man, that might be worth it. It's like, because how many of our customers are all in small towns all over Northern BC, Northern Alberta? Like, if I got a Cessna that can reach them in 2, 3 hours as opposed to like 8 hours of driving, 9 hours of driving, I looked up the fuel mileage on it. Those planes get like 10 liters per 100 kilometers, 12 liters per 100 kilometers, like better than my pickup. So it's quicker than my pickup. It's the same price as buying a new pickup. And if we got to like run somewhere, like meet a customer, meet a client, it's like, oh, it takes the drive time down from 8 hours down to like 2 hours.
No, I'm big on the getting a plane thing. Like, even I've kicked around the idea, but my only problem is like a Cessna 150 is like, I seen one in, there's one in for sale in Winnipeg right now. Cessna 150, it's been recently redone because I can't remember how many hours till your motor has to be redone, but it's been recently redone and it's on for 30, like 5 grand. And I was like, oh, like that's like a nice car. Like, why
Ooh.
don't I just buy a plane? But the problem with the Cessna 150 is speed and range compared to if you get to 172, but 172 is like 3, 4 times the price.
And I feel like, yeah, they're getting to the 172 where you can pack like four people or like a toolbox, because I think if we're selling these things out in like across British Columbia, it would sure be handy to be able to like put Eric and the mechanic up in the plane and be like, give them their pilot's license and be like, all right, send the mechanic out. Like the truck broke down in Quesnel. Hour and a half, the mechanic will be there. He can fix the truck, fly back home at the end of the day, and be like a little service truck plane.
I like if you guys were going to get a plane, I actually like if, depending on money, but like a 310 or something, like Cessna 310, like a dual prop, like something like that. I think that'd be awesome. Like
Look
six
into
passenger,
that, but like then you need your
bit of weight.
in prop certification, and it's like, okay,
Yeah.
if it's working. And then you're like a $300,000 plane now, and now the fuel mileage is like 25, 30 liters per 100 kilometers, 40 liters per 100 kilometers. Like you're spending a lot more. The maintenance is more, the certification is more. Like if it's going well and we're actually using the small plane,
Yeah, I might as well start. You might as well start with the small plane. That does make more sense.
like it'd be sweet because we'd be the only truck company where instead of a service truck, we got a service plane.
Just run some parts quick. That would be so nice.
Well, it'd be super nice if you're like, oh, it's shit. We need a part. It's in Prince George. I'd be like, all right, up, down, pick up the part, back here, and I'll be like back in like 3, 4 hours.
Yeah, I always thought it'd be so nice so I could have one because then like I could like come out a lot more if I just had one kicking around, but. Like I said, Cessna 150's only got 420 nautical mile range, and I think you guys are about 900 away. But Terrace for me is like 1100. You might not be 900 actually. I can check that right now. But it would be so sweet. The 172 or the 182 would be like the thing to have.
Oh, 100%, like the 182, but then like I say, you go up a little bit more. I think a little 172 would be absolutely perfect for Edison. Like,
It'd be the way to start because they're definitely like the most common, like. Easy to get into that.
yeah, and you can just take off, go down to Vancouver. You're a 2.5 hour flight, 3 hour flight from Vancouver, as opposed to like a 16 hour drive, as you got to loop backwards around the whole province.
Yeah. Okay, Kamloops is 770 nautical miles. So I could do a stop in the middle for fuel somewhere. Be a long flight though, but hey, that'd be kind of fun.
I mean, it's a long, it's better than a long drive.
That's true, because 780 or 770 divided by 110 nautical miles an hour. It'd be 7 hour flight. Ooh, that'd be
The
long.
182, I think, or the it does like what 170 nautical or 150 cruising speed. So like divided by 150 for 172, and you're not doing bad.
No, you're not doing the 150 is like slow, like, but the 172 is like definitely a lot faster. It's definitely quite the step up for being not that much bigger.
And not that much more expensive, and
Yeah.
yeah.
Makes a guy think. I think it'd be so sweet to have a plane. Like a couple of my buddies have planes and like they just use them for no commuting and then just to just cause. But I'm like, oh, like for a little commuter, like especially in Manitoba, like every city's far away from you. Like it'd be so nice just to like use it as a commuter, like to go to Winnipeg in an hour and grab stuff. Like we can't do that here.
Yeah, being in central British Columbia, and like we got some of the customers that are looking at us, they're in their mines up around Terrace, and it's like, well, just fly them up to the mine. Like,
Yeah.
oh, it's just.
Well, all our northern workers, they're all through planes, and it's like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, why would you try go ice or as why'd you do that? Just go, just get on a plane. Just get on a plane. Like, why not? And like, I've seen guys on YouTube who like they're big on the commuters. like, oh, like you should get a little commuter plane. And like, they're like, you fly into any airport, like you're all on the comms together. Like it's fine. Like it's a little, I think it'd be a little shady going into those huge airports, but even in those cities, there's tons of little airports around big cities and then little towns. A lot of them have an airstrip somewhere. Like,
yeah,
it'd be pretty sweet.
I mean, you get the little bush, you can get like the bush tires for them, all that.
Just well, okay. The company I worked with for the longest time, we were like, oh, they should get a plane. Cause exactly what you were saying, like parts running, like a lot of times we need like parts, or like just recently, like it was a tube of epoxy, but it's a special Hilti epoxy. It's like $250 a tube. And it's like, oh, like we got to spend 2 hours driving this tube of epoxy. Where it's like, can you imagine if you had a little Cessna, a guy around the shop and it's in its own bay, you just fire it up, get outside, land in the field because you got those big tires, come home. Like, be so handy.
Downtime for your customers too. Cause I mean, we've been told one piece of advice with Edison. And I really, really believe it firmly, is that your sales team and your marketing will sell your first truck to a customer. Your service team sells the second truck.
Yeah.
Start with service on your first truck, sells your second and your third truck. It's like, we got to be on the service. And it's like, we have a comparative disadvantage in the market compared to like Kenworth or Peterbilt that have a dealership in every single town.
It's yeah.
Like, how do we do that? Well, okay, well, fuck it. If you're a 700-kilometer drive away, like, okay, our mechanic will take 8 hours to get there. I'll tell you what, we got a plane that'll do 250. He'll be there in like 2.5 hours instead of 8 hours. He'll get there, get the part changed, get you on your way like 3-4 hours later. Like, or per shop goes down, needs a part, and we're like, holy fuck, we're out of parts. We need it up from Vancouver. It's going to be 16 hours in a truck. 3 hours later, the plane lands. 3 hours later, he's back. Instead of having 40 employees sitting in a shop, all sitting there down for the day because they're missing these parts or something to fix something on the assembly line, being down for 2 days while the truck comes up from Vancouver, well, they're only sitting around for 6 hours. Something goes down.
Yeah.
It's there all of a sudden right away. Employees are back. Trucks are moving again. Like, if you add up.
No, that is the biggest thing for customers. Like, that getting them back moving again is huge. Like, I know multiple farmers who have switched out million-dollar fleets, like $5 million fleet of combines and tractors, and just said, nope, we're switching to a different company. Why? Because their service is better. Like, that's it. Like, that's a huge deal, but people will do that.
And watch, I'll still not be able to buy a fucking house.
Yeah, no, probably you'll have a plane and a building electric vehicles and no house yet.
I've got a factory. I've got a metal credit card. I've got our own corporate plane. Still can't own a house in Canada.
Yeah. Like, you could own a house in Manitoba easily, but just not in Canada. Or sorry, not in BC. Sorry. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Oh, there you are.
Okay.
Lost you for a second.
How much are the houses in Manitoba?
It depends where you are. Like, if you're in the city, a lot, but if you're in like you could find a house in a small town. Like, it really depends. Cause like a town 15 minutes from me is like abandoned pretty much. You can get a house there for like 20 grand, but like in the town I live in, it's along a main highway. Nice enough. Nothing special, but nice enough. And yeah, like the cheapest house would be 95,000.
Oh, that's more affordable.
Yeah, no, it's super, like, I do get, like, we've had this talk a lot, and, like, I can't say too much because I know, like, I don't really want to up and move. Your home is your home, but it's, like, I know so many people complaining about buying a house, and you should be able to buy a house where you're from. I get that. But, like, there is other, I'm not saying you have to up and, like, oh, you're in BC, you can't afford to live, move. Well, maybe not all the way to Manitoba, but, like, even in just some less populated places, I'm sure there's some affordable houses. And like you just said, me, like that one's still a lot, but that's a nice place in my opinion. And it's like, yeah, there's still an option. You don't need to be downtown Vancouver.
My issue is, like, I get it where things are in the city and land is limited, but we're in fucking Canada in Merritt. Land should not be expensive. Buildings shouldn't be expensive because you can build one anywhere. The problem is city permitting. Like, I've learned so much about it's, more people clearly need to be interested in local politics because it's fucked up.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of, like, in Merritt, like, you look at a bunch of these people and you get people on city councils, for example, and they own a real estate development company that owns houses. They don't want to build new houses because that means that their current assets that they hold drop in value, which means that their portfolio goes down in value. And they don't want that. So they take positions on city council and they deny new building so that their current assets don't go down. And then you learn about this and you're like, you fucking fuck. You're the reason why this town's expensive and people are moving out. People can't build businesses because you're worried about your retirement income. You're already fucking 70 years old. How about you just fucking die so we can get some building permits? But too bad another fucking 80-year-old will come and take your place. Like, I got into a fight on Facebook with this, and the city councilor I was fighting with was 73-year-old lady that owns a bunch of fucking houses. And it's like, you fucking 73-year-old fuck. You're about to die anyways. How about you stop screwing over the new generation, start approving some building permits, start letting some people build mechanic shops, build a welding shop, build a fucking bakery, build a fucking house for their family. Like, this is how insane it is in our regional district. Remember about 6 months before you got out here to live with us, Lytton burnt down? So that's been what, 3 years now? 3.5 years now? So 4 years ago, Lytton burnt down. 4 years, people have been homeless, not having a house. The first building permit just got approved like 4 months ago.
That's crazy. Like, that is
Just
so crazy.
the first one, the entire town burnt down. They're like, hey, we got to rebuild our houses. Oh, it's going to take 3 to 4 years to get you a building permit, the first building permit to build, restart rebuilding your life. Like, get fucked, you fucking city council members, regional district members. Their house is burnt down. They should be expediting those building permits. Shouldn't take longer than a week. Hey, I want to build a house. Here's an architect signing off on it. Perfect. Done. Build a house.
No, there's so much corruption in small towns. I remember one time I was arguing with one guy, and now Airbnbs are a whole other argument. People have points on both sides. I'm not going to start the Airbnb argument, but I will say the one guy brought up an article and said, "Hey, listen to what this happened in this small town. Listen to what this guy said." And it was all about how their mayor was fighting Airbnbs. I found out the guy owned three hotels in town. And it's like, Kate, hey, that's not fair. He can't be in that argument. He is biased. Like, that's not allowed. But no, the mayor owns three hotels, canceled all Airbnbs. You know why he canceled Airbnbs, guys? He owns the hotels.
And you have the exact opposite in Prince George, where a bunch of the city councilors own a shit ton of houses and they're Airbnb-ing them. And the BC government's like, yeah, no more Airbnbs unless it's your primary residence. And then they're like, everyone's allowed to have one primary resident that you can. So, like, a husband and wife can own two houses, and the second one they can lease out to, or Airbnb out. That's fair. One house, you're allowed to own one other house that you can Airbnb. You can't run it as a business
I think that's
unless.
fair.
In
Like
the
that,
unless
yeah.
you get a hotel license and you go through the permitting and you operate it under the Innkeepers Act of the province. So you have to run it and operate it to the standards of a hotel with all the requirements of a hotel, get a business license to run a hotel group, and then you can buy the houses and Airbnb them. Also not an unrealistic thing because they're basically saying that, hey, you can't just buy 40 houses and then Airbnb them because you're running a hotel business and you have to follow the guidelines of being a hotel business.
I think that's quite fair, actually.
I
Like
think it's fair,
again,
but
I know people have both sides of the Airbnb argument, but that seems quite fair. Like my brother's place got canceled in Onanal in Clear Lake, like where I'm originally from, because they were canceling all of them. And it's like that's his place, and he goes away to work for 3 months. He should be able to Airbnb it. That's fair. He's not like trying to run a crazy business here. He's just, oh, I'm away for 2, 3 months. Why can't I Airbnb my house when I'm gone? But since
yeah.
a few people were doing that, like literally people who, a few millionaires came in, bought 17, 20 houses. It's like, well, okay, now they're wrecking it for everybody else. Like, a middle ground seems perfectly fine to me.
And it seems like BC's law is a pretty fair middle ground, but Prince George, a bunch of the councillors own a shit ton of houses. They're those millionaires buying 40, 50 houses in Prince George, putting them all up on Airbnb, and they've applied and applied again, be like, no, it's not going to be affordable if we operate it as a hotel. And it's like, you are a fucking hotel. You
Yeah, you
have
are.
$50 million worth of assets. That's the value of a fucking hotel. You have enough guests that it's a hotel. Start meeting the requirements of a hotel. Like, that seems fair to me, but it's so corrupt at that local level.
It's
And the
so
problem
funny.
is,
Yeah, like
nobody
it's so funny how
cares.
corrupt it is. And nobody does care, and nobody wants to get on these boards or do anything anymore because you get hated. And like I know I talked to a few people before about like entering it because like, I don't even want to get started because I'm sure someone would get it passed on. But there's like a lot of corruption in the local like contracting in where I'm from. And it's like I wanted to like maybe be a part of town council, but you get hated on town council, and it's all these because you get hated because it's all the older rich guys who are making things better for them. It's like, well, I don't want to be a part of that and get hated for no damn reason then.
You know what? Honestly, I thought about it. If we moved to Terrace, I think we need to get all of the Edison directors and employees up there, and we just fund a massive, like massive being small town massive. We buy like 40 flyers for like $500, and we just
Yeah.
get all of Edison guys on the fucking town council, and then we just start approving everybody's building permits. You get a building permit. You get a building
Just
permit.
open it, yeah.
You want to open up a mechanic shop in your garage? Fucking have at it. You've got a spare garage and you can work on people's cars on the weekend? Absolutely. That's a business. You want to build a house? Yeah, don't worry. It's a 1 week building permit. Send us your design. We have to approve it, say yes or no within 1 week. And we have to give you the reasons for the changes. You resubmit it. We have to give you a yes or no in 1 week. And then it's done. If we don't get back to you in a week, automatic building approval. Fuck
Yeah.
yeah.
No, it does seem so crazy. We got a couple points coming, but it seems so crazy we're in a free country. And I know we're free, we're good, a lot of places, but it's just like there's so many rules. Like, you have to follow so many damn rules. Like you can't just say, "Hey, I have a garage. I'm a part-time mechanic. I'm gonna start a little mechanic shop here." Like, and yeah, like if you bring up health and safety, that's one thing. But why does it have to be tax codes? Why does it have to be extra tax to open your garage up to other people to work on? Like, why? I don't get it.
And you know what? At the end of the day, there's simple rules that you could put in that make a little bit of sense, like noise bylaw. Okay, no welding, grinding after 9 o'clock in a residential area.
That's super easy,
Noise
super easy
bylaws
rule.
already exist, and
Yeah.
90% of towns have those. So why are you denying a guy's mechanic shop? He already can't make noise between 8 or 9. That's more than reasonable for somebody to run a business. I'm sorry, Karen, that you don't like somebody working on vehicles, but as long as he's not leaving cars on the street. As long as the pollution laws already exist, he's not dumping oil into a drain because that's already illegal.
Yeah.
Just let him do it. Let's get those small businesses going. He wants to, and then he builds his little shop and he says, "Hey, my business is really growing. People love that my mechanic work. I want to build an actual little shop. Here's a little bit of crown land or city land. Can I build a shop on here? It should be a 1 week, yes or no." Because that guy working out of his garage can't afford to wait 3 years. I'm sorry, the big companies can. Walmart can afford to wait 3 years on a zoning permit to build a super center. You, me, your brother could not wait 3, 4 years to find out if they can open their business. He might have, like, maybe have kids by then. Maybe
Yeah, things
family life
change.
change. Maybe something else. Maybe he's like, "Oh, I went into this as a part-time job and it's just like, I could go full time, but to go full time, I need to hire 2, 3 mechanics to help me out, grow the shop. They need to get going." Like, just give him a week. If he's ready to make the step, the bank says that, "Yes, I can finance a building." That's all it should be, yes or no.
Yeah.
And we just
No.
load up the city councils. Like we had that little talk about provincial elections, and there's people that wanted me to run in the provincial election for the Conservative Party and get into, like, go down to Victoria and, like, fix the province. And I'm like, I don't have time with Edison. I
No.
can't run for a provincial election with Edison. But being a city council member is really a part-time job. We meet once a week, we approve a bunch of building shit, get the economy going in this town, and then go back to our normal jobs. Like, you meet once or twice a week to vote on a couple bylaws and get approve some building, redo some change, and then get going. Like, that's where you can really make a difference. And like, I think more blue collar people really need to get into city council and kick those dusty old fox out.
No, they definitely should. I was told it's on record. I haven't went and seen the actual record itself, but during a city council meeting, our mayor was called out, and he straight up looked at everyone and said, "Let's not forget." Like they were talking about building more entertainments and more like just more. We wanted more people coming to Minnedosa, and he said, "Let's not forget who we are here. We're just little Minnedosa." Like he was trying to like shut down any growth, and is on record saying that, and it's like. Why are you the mayor? Like, we don't want that. We don't want that attitude of you saying we don't want to grow. Like, that seems ridiculous.
It shouldn't be the city councils. It should be the, "Hey, I'm going to open a business. I want to open it." Like, yeah, there should be things when it's maybe a giant pulp mill that's going to make the town smell terrible. But there's certain limits where I really think that, like, any small business that's under 20 employees should just get a yes. Like,
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but a mechanic shop, a tourist, if somebody thinks that, "Hey, you know what? I really think that there would be a market in Minnedosa for a video game arcade." You know what? That's his right to take that risk as an entrepreneur. He's like, "You know what I think this town needs? a go-kart track for some entertainment for kids on the weekend. It shouldn't go to a bunch of 70-year-old people on a fucking city council that are like, what about the noise of the go-karts? I don't know if I want to hear go-kart noise. How about you shut the fuck up, Bertha? Let him run his
Yeah.
business. Let the kids have a little bit of fun. You don't like it, you don't have to listen to it.
Well, okay,
Jesus.
here's a beauty one. When my parents started their campground, we had the gravel road we were on, we had a council meeting, and they people brought up issues, and one of them was like, oh, like, you know, when like if my kids are playing on the gravel road, there'll be more traffic. And it's like, okay, first of all, the roads traveled decently enough already. Second of all, why are your kids playing on the middle of the gravel road if you're so worried about it? Like, what are you doing? You have a backyard. We're in a small town. We all have 10 acres to hang out on. Maybe let them play in the backyard, not out on the gravel road. Why is that my fault? And people are seasonal campers. They're not coming in that, like, it's once a year. They sit at the campsite, they head out on the weekend. Like, take it easy. And some of the biggest fights we had with people, not fights, but like arguments over if we should be approved or not, we did get approved. My parents built their campground. Some of our neighbors took issue. Like, 2 or 3 years after, one of the neighbors came in, tail between his legs, and said, hey, I'm trying to, you know, put up a few shops on my property. And gee, it's sure hard with other people voting against me, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no shit. You were just voting against us 2 years ago. Now you're saying we got to stick together and let me get my shop built at my place because my neighbors have a say on my own land because they shouldn't. But you had a say on ours. When we built ours, you made a big stink about it. Like, it's such hypocrisy.
Yeah, honestly, that's why I think it's like it should be black or white. City council vote for what's allowed, and if it's allowed under the zoning, it should be fucking allowed. And like, hey,
Yeah, like if you're in town and you have an acre, no, you can't start a 50 person campground because it won't fit there. It doesn't work there. But like when you have a quarter section of land, you're just on the outskirts of town. Yeah, why is that a question to anyone? Like,
if a campsite is allowed on rural land, it should be. It's allowed. It shouldn't be like, oh, well, it's a permitted use, but now you got to get a permit for the use that we've already zoned and said okay, just in case that your use is somehow no. I'm sorry, but if you approve something like, hey, you're allowed to run a small business out of your house, you're allowed to run a small thing, and you can define it like mechanic shop, welding shop, up to 5 employees. Okay. And then like if as long as you're following the rules, it shouldn't be any application. It should people in this country. It's strangling entrepreneurship when people
Yes.
ask to do something and then they're like, well, you got to go through a 3-year process or 6-month process to do something to find out if you can even do anything. The rules should be the same for everybody. It should be written out. Yes, you can. No, you can't. And if you can, you can. Like it's rural zoning. You're allowed to build a house. Why do you need a permit to build a house if it's rural land and you're allowed one house per dense per acre? Rural zoning, one house per acre. Okay, perfect. I'm going to build one house on every acre. I got 20 acres. I'm going to build 20 houses. I met the zoning bylaws. Good. You're good to build those houses. No permits fucking needed. Follow the Canadian building codes. We will send out not a building permit. We're going to send out the inspectors. You still need to meet the building code, but you're allowed to fucking build the house. You don't need the permit. You just have to meet the rules that are in place. That's the insane part is that it shouldn't take 4 years to get a building permit to build a house on your own land. And that's
Well,
what it's taking.
that's what makes me mad, like with the subdividing. Like I have a few buddies who have like 100 acres of land, and they're like, oh, like, you know, I was thinking about subdividing 2 lots, and I can't remember what our minimum here is, but like for off going off chunk of our land like that, I think it needs to be like 5 or 10 acres, and then for certain applications, and then if you change it to like more residential, then it's 1 acre. But anyways, there's different categories, and he wanted to do just a couple acre chunks, and it was like the price of the chunk of land he wanted. Like he said, by the time all the paperwork done, it was like 40, 50 grand to get the paperwork done to subdivide his own land to sell a little chunk of it. And I'm like, why is that? Like, maybe go down to the local office and pay a few hundred bucks to get some paperwork done. That's one thing. But like that much money to subdivide your own chunk of land, and for what? Like, they have to trench in water, power, they have to do all that work now. So it's like the RM's gonna make money off that. Don't you want that? Don't you want that ha to
Like,
happen?
and
Like,
we've got a housing shortage in this country where it's like, why is there any limits? Like, the one house per acre, like in TNRD, it's one house per 10 acres. But then Merritt has a shouting housing shortage with 0% vacancy on rental houses, multiple people living in the houses. We got tents popping up everywhere, but they're still like, you know what? One house per acre. Get rid of those requirements. If you want to build fucking 40 houses on 10 acres of land, with a quarter of an acre each and build a big subdivision, like a subdivision for houses. We need fucking houses. You know what? Let people and let the markets decide. If you think that you can sell a 10th acre lot, just go into the city office, be like, hey, I rezone this. And they're like, okay, we'll put it in our computer system. Next time we update it, that'll be $250, something like that, to
Yeah.
cover the person's
But
time to update the file. And then done it. Because you know what? People aren't going to sell it. If you sell a 40-foot section of land, who's going to buy it? Probably fucking nobody.
nobody. But also, like, it's just, it's so funny because we talk about this, but these things can happen. But when they're happening, who is it? Big companies, big corporations come in, pad all the right guys' pockets, they get approved. But the guy who had the 20 acres in the first place, he couldn't do that. But no, he sold it to this big corporation. Next thing you know, they jump through those hoops, pad the right pockets, and then they can do the development.
We had that happen here where a farmer was trying to subdivide and build a housing section in Merritt. And he's like, I want to just build 40 houses. My have places right outside of town. And they're like, no, you can't build it. No, you can't build it. No, you've got to sell it. And then he went around and sold it as one big chunk because he's like, hey, I'm just going to sell the property. Sold the property as one big chunk. A different, like a large development company worth billions of dollars or at least hundreds of millions of dollars came in. Bought it off the guy. They had their permits to build those 40, 50 houses 2 months later, 3 months later. So this local farmer's like, hey, I got a local building company. We're going to build these. We're going to build some houses. The housing prices is up. I talked with the local builder. We're going to partner up on this land. And they basically said, no, you can't do it. Another company came in with the big pockets that could,
Yeah,
like, I'm not saying they
it's that
paid it off the
local.
city council, but like
They did.
something happened. And now all of a
Local
sudden they can
corruption is
go.
huge. It's ridiculous. Like it's sorry. It just makes me so mad because it's so blatant sometimes, and it's just like I don't get how that's allowed. Like,
And it's one
whatever.
of those things where yes, I fucking hate Trudeau as much as the next guy, but the amount of people with like fuck Trudeau, like I'm sorry, but Trudeau's foreign policy on Israel does not really affect my life that much. Like Trudeau can massively fuck things up as he did, and inflation kind of sucks. But you know what has a bigger impact? The ca fucking councilmen, like that will not approve the fact that Edison will not approve any shop for Edison, any land for Edison, cannot buy it.
Yeah,
Like that
no,
affects me more. I want people to drive it around and be like, fuck Councilman Hebert.
I actually totally get what you're saying because people are like, oh, we can't make a difference, throw stuck in there. You could make a lot of difference with your local government if you wanted to, but a lot of people just won't.
I think one of the problems too is that there's no political parties in local government. I think honestly, that's one of the biggest issues is that when you have municipal elections, it's just people's names. I don't know any of these fucking people, and people are so busy with their lives that, like, man, you got to find out what their positions are. And like 90% of these don't have websites, and they're just the name and a face of a person, and it's like some vague slogan that says like "Build Merit Better," and you're like, what the fuck does that mean? Or like, hey, Merit's a great city, vote for me. And you're like, I don't know who the fuck you are or what your policies. Or if you're going to tell a rancher no and approve the billion-dollar corporations. Like, I don't know what your policies are. At least if there was like, okay, we got a liberal guy, an NDP, we got a Green member, we got a conservative. You know what? The conservative wants this. This is what their like local politics level is. All right, let's put in a thing. And like, why isn't that brought down to the local level? Like, I've always thought that was stupid. Like, I have no clue. Or at the very least, we need to change our municipal guidelines. That when you go in to vote for local people, they have to state what their top 10 goals are.
Well, yeah, I was just kind of I'm kind of more leaning towards that idea. Like if local government, maybe not parties, but say there were a party, like, oh, like I'm with this party, but it's a whole different thing. But we have, say, 5, 10 different kind of parties. Where like your main top goals are the same, like, oh, like business growth, tourism, like all that, that's on your top list. So then the old fucks who are in there and all their top priorities are keeping money in my bank account, making my rental properties go up, everything's for themselves. No, they wouldn't actually list that, but like
But
they'd
they
have
would
to
have things
identify with a
like
party
keep
and prove
Merritt a
it.
small town.
Yeah.
Like keep Merritt quiet. Like you could just tell other people of like increase the arts community or other people would be like increase small business, cut permits. Like you could tell kind of what people were thinking. Like put their name, a picture of them, their name, their age, and their top 10 thing policies. And I would say top five things they want to do and top five things that they're against. Top five things they're for, top five things they're against. Put their
I
age,
just like
name, and
that
a
for their
picture, and then you can
accountability, though.
vote.
Because, like, they could lie and be like, oh, no, like, that's not really what our party believes in. No, like, you ran off this. You said you were going to do this. There's accountability. Oh, you're not doing it. Out.
And you know what I honestly do think too? There needs to be a thing for city council at a city council where let them just, you know what, fuck it. Rather than giving the councilman the vote, let the people vote on what they want. Have like quarterly votes. Like let the city council kind of manage things, keep track of things, decide what goes on to the vote, but then have all the people come together and do like a little vote on things and be like, hey, is this mine approved? Yes or no? Will the city approve this zoning? Yes or no? And just send out a flyer, like a monthly mailer to all the people that live in the city and let them check a box and send the fucking mail back in or something like that. I don't know
Yeah.
what the
No,
solution is, but
I
it's
like
stupid the way it
I
is.
know we have voting. It's like we do have town votes here because we are still small enough. But yeah, it needs to be better because it's very rare. You don't know what's going on. Like if they had it listed and printed like exactly what topics are going to be up. And yeah, if it was mail-in or something, we all know each other. You could all like in a small town too, for like it'd be very hard to do fraud. Like, oh, like what's your name, your address, your license, or something like that. Okay, mailing your votes. Like I would do that, but like going to all these meetings, if I'm away on the road or something, it is difficult. And you don't know what's going on at these meetings. So what if there's one where it's nothing important and I gotta go sit there for 2 hours? Like
Well, there should be something like it should almost be like a online thing and people can like log in and vote and be like, hey, just so you know, everybody's got like their put their driver's license number in, they got to make a passcode, they log in, and it's like, okay, you have till 3 months. These are the issues that are going to expire within 2 months. And you got
yeah,
two
make it
months to log
convenient.
into the app, select like put in your driver's license number, your passcode can be whatever, and then log in. Place the vote and be like, okay, we registered that this address lives in this municipality. Like it's all integrated with ICBC. Nice part about, I guess,
Yeah.
having one place is like the driver's license knows where you live. Enter your driver's license number. It brings up your local municipality, your closest municipality. It brings up the issues. You can scroll through, you can vote yes or no. And you have every month, you just log in at least once a month if something's important to you, and you can scroll through and you can place the votes. Done. That's the vote. Fuck it. Like, why are in the 21st century are we at the point where, hey, you know who should be in charge of the economy? 73-year-old bored people that have a pension and nothing else to do.
Yeah, and nothing else to worry about.
Yeah. And just they want to just not hear go-karts because their kids, their grandkids are all growing up. Like
Yeah.
they don't have to work because they got a government pension because they had good jobs in the 19 fucking 50s and 60s that actually had pensions. I'm sorry, but
They
the
had
rest of
mediocre jobs that paid decently for that time, and you could buy a house for nothing, and now they bought two, three houses in that time, and now they're worth $1 million and they're selling them.
Yeah, and now they think that real estate's a viable option because they were the clever, like they had the, like, I'm sorry, but the boomers had such financial genius to be born in 1962. Like, holy
Yeah.
shit, you were born 1950. Like, I swear to God, nowadays it's so fucked up that I feel like the only thing you can do as a financial advisor for a millennial or a Gen Z is literally be like, hey, I see you want to buy a house. Have you considered being born in the 1960s?
Yeah. Not even the 60. I knew people in the 90s who bought like pieces of land over here for like 25 grand. It's like, oh, that's a decent amount. And you were getting paid decent in the 90s. Quarter section of land like 25 grand, and then now it's like what a quarter section of land is like 350 where I am, like 350
Oh,
thousand.
I remember houses like when I started driving truck, I remember looking at housing and I was gonna buy like a decent little detached house for like $90,000 when I started driving truck. That same house is now worth $500,000. When I
Yeah,
started
see,
driving
that's you
truck,
guys have
I
got
made about
crazy over there.
$80,000-$90,000 a year. And now a truck driver makes about $130,000 a year, $140,000 a year. Okay, so like the wage went up by a third. I'm making on average about a third more than I did driving truck 15 years ago. But the house has gone up in value 5 to 6 times. The wage only went up a third, but the house went up 5 or 6 times. A house that I could afford as a brand new truck driver, fresh off the line, taking a shit wage, living by myself, I now can't afford. Even if I went driving truck with no kids and the fiance's income, we couldn't afford the same house that I could afford on my shitty one income job when I was 19 years old. Like, it's just, that's fucked.
Yeah, no, that is some BS.
Anyways, I feel like we
I
probably run. I gotta run here shortly.
was just I was just about to say, I think we've been going for 2 half-hour segments, so we can call
Nobody's listening anymore. Either that or like,
it
so yeah,
Yeah,
I guess
same
the
rad.
mo point of the story is if you're annoyed with this, just run for city council.
No, but like you said, I don't like the Screw Trudeau stuff. It's just like still believe that, and I still think he's doing terrible, but also work on your local government too. You could change a lot with your local government.
Like I said, when we go up to Terrace, I'm just going to make sure that all Edison employees get on a local government, and then if people want zoning approved, they can just pay
approved, voters. Stamped.
Yeah, $2,000-$3,000, fucking done. You got a house.
Yeah,
I mean, no, that's corruption. I wouldn't do that, but that's totally that's how it works now, 100%. I'm just
at least that way they're getting approved.
Being like 60,000, I'm fucking generous. I'll knock that down to like $2,000 for you.
Yeah. Anyways, okay, sounds good. Chat with you later. We will have a guest on next week for those guys wondering.
You bet. All right, sounds good.
Talk to you later.
Okay, bye.